WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into what almost feels like summer right now. And we got a Maryland Crab Cake Tour headed back downtown next week. We're going to be at Luna Del Sea, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our partners at Goodwill and Window Nation. We have a political season here, about 6 weeks out on an election. Don, you know, I'd like to say July 19th, and we'd all go out and vote. But we know we're going to mail in. We're going to get on this thing nice and early, as we've been talking to people. So we're getting into political conversations nice and early. So, Don, bring on our latest guest, because we got a lot of things to talk about around here.
No shortage of topics. And our next guest is dipping his toe in the water. He's decided to make a run for it. No stranger to anyone out there in Baltimore County, particularly Northwest, Southwest, in that 10th district. Scott Phillips, an attorney, been around a long time, been involved in the community, been involved in a number of county volunteer efforts, and he now wants to be your delegate if you're in the 10th district. So, Scott, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you, Don, and it's great to be here.
Scott, just start with a lot of folks out there driving around in their car, or they're listening on their phone, and it's hard. Nestor, I'm so glad Nestor starts with July 19th. It's amazing. We're now less than 2 months out. We're less than 2 months out, and this is going to be here before we know it. Take a few minutes, introduce yourselves to voters, tell them why you want to go to Annapolis and why you're the man.
Thank you, Don. Well, I am in Scott Phillips. I have to say it that way because that's what's going to be on the ballot. I am running for the House of Delegates in the 10th District. I am a Baltimore County resident, just about lifelong, graduate of Woodlawn High School. So I'm a BCPS product. I've raised my kids here in the county, both of which graduated from Carver out in Towson. I am a attorney, as you mentioned, focusing on working with small and minority-owned businesses, with faith-based organizations. And that was at the 30 years of corporate America. I just decided that I wanted to do things that would have a direct impact on people's lives. And so I found in my practice, I get to do that every day. And as you know, I spent a great deal of time really providing volunteer service to the county as the former chair of the planning board, which I got to do for a number of years under both Kevin Kamenetz and Johnny Olszewski. And now, more recently, I'm working with the Baltimore County Revenue Authority. I'm on the board there and providing advice and counsel as a member of the Economic Development Advisory Board for the county. I'm a guy that really believes in a saying that I got from my parents: for whom much is given, much is required, right? And so my desire and the reason I am running for office is I see this as just another way of giving back to the community that has raised me and that I've actually had some level of success in. There's some perspective about, you know, me and my beginnings. My dad was a steel worker, Beth Steele, and my mother was a teacher. And so they really kind of shared in me a work ethic and a responsibility to care for other human beings, right? And so that's my motivation. You know, I try to serve with passion, with purpose, and to use kind of my proven performance to bring people together to get things done. Whether it was the planning board where you're trying to get, you know, 14 other people to come to some resolution and make some good decisions about land use in Baltimore County, or the work that I've done with young people through an organization that I started some 30 plus years ago, providing scholarships, particularly to young men and getting them interested in college and getting prepared for college. So that's really kind of my background. That's what motivates me to do what I do. I'm excited about the opportunity to serve in Annapolis, really to focus on a couple of things. If you think about the community, the 10th district, many of the arteries in the 10th district, the main arteries, you know, they're older, right?
And well, so let's talk about the 10th before we do that, because okay. for a lot of folks out there with redistricting and this and that, I'm a citizen. I'm trying to figure out these maps, and I'm looking at them myself. Can you define for our audience, and I know sometimes it's hard, I could pull it up on video, but some boundaries for who can vote for you in the 10th?
Nesta, thank you. And I'm glad you stopped me so I could talk about that, because a lot of people don't realize how geographically large the 10th district has become with redistricting. So it's as far north as above Reisterstown, going all the way to the Carroll County line, as far west as Woodstock, going all the way to the Howard County line. It now goes down kind of around Catonsville to include Owella and actually parts of Halethorpe, all the way down to the Anne Arundel County line. So it is a geographically very large district.
And diverse. A lot of cows in there too, you know, literally, right?
Yep. We got everything from farms to, I'll tell it, low-income housing to, you know, suburban to what some might even call urban, all in the 10th district.
Scott, that's funny. Nestor, great question, because I had no idea that the new 10th went down to Halethorpe. I mean, that's from Halethorpe out to Woodbine. That's a hell of a district, man. That's a lot of door knocking.
It's a lot of door knocking. It's a lot of phone calls. And some of those areas, as you know, Don, door knocking may not be reasonable, right? You got farmland with, you know, multiple acres between houses, right? And so we've got to find our way to get to those folks.
Hard to trick or treat out there too, as I remember.
Hard to trick or treat out there.
Scott, let me ask you this, because like, you know, in running and serving and being not young anymore and having some wisdom into all this, at what point do you start thinking about politics? Because, Don and I started Baltimore Positive, and I'm full disclosure. I mean, I had thought about entering the political realm. No longer. People come up to me every day. They ask me last night about that. I'm like, nah, you know, I thought about it, and it felt right to me 5 years ago. It doesn't feel right to me this moment. Have you gone in and out of ways where maybe you wanted to do this at some other point?
Absolutely, Nestor, and because I just saw this as something that I should do. However, one of the things that I made a decision on some many years ago, and a lot of people don't know this, I actually ran Adrian Jones' very first campaign. Adrian was appointed because of the death of a legislator, and she was appointed to the seat or voted by the Democratic Central Committee at that time. She came up for election. I got involved with her. I had been involved with Kirsch Moak in Baltimore City. I had been involved with who I consider one of the masterminds in Maryland politics, Larry Gibson, and have many over.
I call him respectfully the professor.
The professor.
No one knows more. He's been on with us than Professor Larry.
Well, Scott, if you've been around Larry Gibson, you talk about Kurt Schmoak, you're going back almost 30 years here. I mean, certainly this is something that's kind of, you know, it's been swirling for you, and there comes a point in your life where you want to act on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I will tell you, Nestor, one of the things I said I wouldn't do, I was very intentional about what is happening now. There's a lot of change in the 10th district. Right. We are going to have a new senator. Right. Dolores Kelly has decided she is not going to run. She's basically retiring. So we will have a new senator. We will have two open seats in the House of Delegates. Prior to this, with my relationship with the speaker, with my relationship with Delegate Brooks, I just didn't see that as something that I would do at any point in time while they were still sitting in those chairs. But with that open seat, it seems to me that this is the right time to throw my hat in the ring and to be part of that change that is coming to the 10th district no matter what. As a matter of fact, and Don, I think you're aware, actually am working with on a team with Speaker Jones, Ben Brooks, and a young lady by the name of Jennifer White. And we've dubbed ourselves the 10th District Unity Team. And so I'm excited about working with a group of people to bring this change to the district.
Well, anytime you have an opportunity to run with the speaker, that would be a good thing. So that can't hurt. Scott, you were involved, and Nestor enjoys and follows, you know, land use issues because he knows how critical they are. You were the chair of a group that I often referred to as the most important yet most invisible group in the county, and that's the Baltimore County Planning Board. It makes some of the most important decisions that will affect people's lives in the entire county, and yet no one knows what it does. Can you give us a four dummy overview of the Planning Board and why folks should pay more attention?
Sure. So the Planning Board is really responsible for land use kind of policy and in some instances, decision making for Baltimore County. Now we work, most of our work is recommendations to the county council and to the county executive. But there's some issues in which we have final decision making. We're looking at, you know, issues of where water and sewer will lie in the county and where we will take that. And if you think about that, that is critical because it determines where you will develop either multifamily or residential, single family residential. In my years of working with the Planning Board, you know, we had to deal with things like, you know, what was going to happen with the what is now known as, Express Point. I'll use that as a point of reference, right? With issues of expansion of the URDL, which is the urban rural demarcation line. I'm getting into some things that a lot of people, it becomes maybe a little too deep.
It's policy wonk stuff that affects everybody that kind of happens in the shadows for most citizens. At least they feel like it does.
And think about it this way, Nestor, we'll get Scott to continue. The urban rural demarcation line, which is referred to affectionately as the URDL, is a line that's drawn across the entire county, which restricts where intense development can take place. And 2/3 of the population, and Scott knows this statistic, 2/3 of the population in Baltimore County lives inside of the URDL, with only 1/3 living outside, and yet the URDL
is actually— We call that the Hereford Zone.
Hereford Zone.
Right. So, but the interesting, Nestor, it's not just the Hereford Zone, right? I'm in Woodstock, and we're beyond the URDL. If you go over to the east side of the county and you get close to some of the waterways, those are outside of the URDL. And so that makes a big difference about where you can develop. Some would argue that we have forced the population to stay within the URDL, and then that impacts our ability to grow as a county. There was a lot of talk about expanding the URDL, which has not gone on before.
I was going to ask, who's the URDL god? Who drew those lines? We move lines all the time here, right?
You know what's funny? Since the 70s, the URDL in any significant way has not been moved.
Correct.
Since the 70s. The URDL in any significant
way. How many people do we have in the county in 19 when Venatulis was running the shop here, Don? 340,000 or something? Now it's is it like a crazy number?
No, probably 550. Probably 550.
Okay.
550, and now we're at 800,000. Right. So that's but let me give you. So I'm the guy that used to sit and listen to the arguments and bring people in as the chair and bring people in so that we could collaborate and come to some resolution on many of these issues. And so I'm glad we're having this discussion because I love URDL conversations. But think about it this way. So if we expand, then we've got to expand everything. We've got to have more schools. We've got to have more roads. We've got to spend more money on infrastructure to get water and sewer to those places. So
are we trying to get to 9 or 950? Is that how we get to 9 or 950 as a county? And actually, we, because I live in the county.
Yep, potentially we do. However, when I'm getting ready to say something different. In this current environment, when you think about development, there's a lot of push for what I call infill development. Right. There are a lot of older communities that we could rethink. If you think about Towson and the growth in Towson, we haven't expanded any footprint geography, but we have significantly increased the number of people that live in Towson without increasing water or sewer. So I'm actually getting a bigger bang for my buck in terms of tax revenue for building there. And I've got a community which is becoming more walkable, more accessible. So sometimes you got to think about it. I'm not suggesting that's the only way to grow the county, but I'm just suggesting that we need to think about what makes the most sense.
Land that's already there that's not being in any way utilized or maximized or strategized.
There you go.
And Nestor, it's interesting, and Scott's been involved in these discussions. It is the stuff of policy wonks. The Ertle has caused the county to win numerous land preservation awards, okay? Protecting streams, protecting the tributaries that run into the bay because of its forward-looking land management, one home for 50-acre protections outside of the Ertle. The flip side of that, as we continue to have more and more of a housing crisis in America, particularly an affordable housing crisis, is that housing advocates, right, Scott, will argue that the Ertle has made it extremely difficult for Baltimore County to provide affordable housing for workforce folks who simply can't afford the McMansion.
That's absolutely right. And so when you say affordable housing, I want to be clear that people understand this is not low income housing. This is workforce housing. Right. So where do our teachers, our firefighters, our public safety professionals, where is it that they can go and have and raise their children in a suburban setting that maybe I don't want to be in a Towson? Where can they go to do that? We have such limited capacity right now to build new housing inside of the Ertle. So that's the flip side of the argument. And some would argue that it has also exacerbated this, what I would call, I got to be careful, but we have people living almost in segregated communities, right? Because I don't have new land to build and to create more diverse communities. So we've got to figure those things out. So for me, I'm saying we do need to look at the expansion of the Ertle. And at this end, we still need to make sure we're doing land preservation and we have to figure out infill development. We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
One of my favorite slogans.
Well, this also feels like a very moderate, you know, I don't know you, meet you from the outside, but it sounds much more moderate than radical in either way.
Nestor, you're probably outside of the Ertle.
I'm not going to tell
where you live on the air.
No, but I probably am. But I'm trying to figure out where that would be in relationship to the Beltway. Does it mark the Beltway? Is it further east or west? Because there are more people east and west than there are north outside the Beltway, right? Once you get up around Hunt Valley, people go away, literally, right?
Correct. And so that's I use that as an example of understanding where the Ertle is. Because if you use Hunt Valley as your example, you go from Hunt Valley all the way to the Pennsylvania county line. You know when you hit Pennsylvania, right? You know when you hit Pennsylvania.
Luke lives there. You see, we used to have to go up there to buy the lottery tickets. I tell John Martin that all the time because they had the $1 million up there. Everybody would go up to Shrewsbury, right? But then everybody moved to Shrewsbury, and clearly they had different things going on there than they had in, let's say, Howard County in the 80s and 90s, right?
Right. And you can even see it. I'll give you another example. If you've ever gone out Old Court Road, once you get past the hospital and once you get past Windsor Mill, right, a little bit past there, you're beyond the Ertle. And so from there until the Howard County line, the development is very different. Right. So you see it in that now we're talking about 1, 2, 3 acre lots, even for residential. And so that limits. And you're talking about people having to, you know, now be on water, their own water and sewer. Changes the cost of building a property. It changes the cost of living.
If you're on well water, are you out of the Ertle?
In most instances, if you're on well water, yeah, you're out of the Ertle.
So that would probably define it for almost anybody, right?
For the most part.
If I'm on public water, I'm close enough to be part of the artery, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a pretty good definition. Hey, Scott, before I know you're busy, before we let you run, Nestor and I, and you tell us if we're right, if we're wrong, and how this is playing out in the 10th. Nestor and I, with every elected official, everyone who wants to be an elected official, we have a premise that whether people want to believe it or not, everybody's number one issue starts with public safety. And that it's not just a city issue, it's something that people all across the state care about. Are we accurate? Do people in the 10th care about public safety?
People in the 10th care about public safety, but I coined it a different way. People in the 10th care about quality of life, right?
Okay.
And public safety then becomes a major piece of that quality of life. But so does the idea that I have choices on where I go to the grocery store. So does the idea that I want my children to be able to go to a school that I think is comparable to any other school in Baltimore County. So they also want, you know, as quality of life, places where they can go and recreate. So I really think that the biggest issue in people's mind is how much do I value my community? How much do I think and it's competition. How do I compare my community with the one next door? And what are the amenities they have? What are the quality of life issues around crime that they have that I don't have? I want my community to be this utopia community, and I may see another community as being that, and I may not perception-wise view my community. So I think one of the biggest things as a politician, I'm not a politician. I believe I consider myself a servant leader. I do this because I really believe in it. But every day my thought is, what do we do to help people feel in their heart and see, you know, with their eyes that they're living in a community that they want to live, work, play, grow a family in.
Well, what a great segue before we get out of here. We're asking everyone that we chat with this week. You know, you're a parent. You know what it feels like. You talk about quality of life, community, Robb Elementary School. We wake up recently and we've got another mass shooting. React as a parent, react as a human being, and then react as a potential elected official.
Man, as a parent, you know, I can't imagine what those parents went through when they were getting those phone calls. I can remember 9/11, and at 9/11, my children are grown. My daughter was at Sudbrook. And I remember that day sitting in a long line because all of us didn't know what was going to happen. We just didn't know, just trying to get there to get my child. And that was no imminent danger. You know, we all felt unsafe and uncomfortable, but we're talking about that. I can't imagine as a parent. I feel for the parents. My lens as an elected official is we have to do something, right? This idea of an 18-year-old with that type of equipment in my mind is not acceptable.
What sane person ever would have checked off on this? Ever. You know what I mean? Sane person would make this available when you don't make a bottle of vodka available to an 18-year-old?
He can't buy a bottle of vodka or beer.
Or give them the keys to a rental car. Rental car companies have decided if you're under 25, you're not responsible enough to be in charge of a vehicle that may kill someone.
I can't fathom the argument. I'm fine with you know, gun ownership. I am. But I can't fathom the argument that you make that an 18-year-old should have access to go do what he did. I just can't fathom. So that angers me, quite frankly. We've got to get better with that. Maryland, we're fairly good, but we've got to figure out how to advocate on a national level for a couple of things. We need a national gun registry, and we need a national background check policy. We have to do it. It should be like getting a license, right? I don't want to push it down to the state, though. I really do want something at the federal level. Before you get a gun, you've got to go through a check and you've got to get a license, right? I just think it would be
a fishing license, for crying out loud.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nestor. Right. I need a fishing license.
I heard David Frum this morning in the Atlantic. He's a Canadian. I did not realize this. Said that in Canada, for you to get a gun permit, your spouse or partner that you live with has to sign off that they are comfortable and safe with you having that firearm. I mean, we're so far behind the rest of the world, it's not funny. Scott, before you leave, people are listening. They're saying, hey, I want to find out more about that guy. Where do they find out more about candidate and Scott Phillips and his bid to be a 10th district delegate?
So you can find out more going to my website at www.voteinscottphillips.com. Voteinscottphillips.com. You can get me on Facebook. I believe it is Vote NSP or Vote in Scott Phillips on Facebook. I know I have an Instagram handle. I can't tell you what that one is, but you can also go to the District 10 UnityTeam.com and you'll learn about me and my colleagues. Man, this has been great. 30 minutes goes way too fast, Don and Nestor. But, you know, if anybody would like to find out, you can also just send me an email at candidate@nscottphillips.com. candidate@nscottphillips.com. And this has been a pleasure. Bring me back again.
Love to have you on. The next time it involves crab cakes. So just got to let you know that Scott Phillips is here, and Scott Phillips, the way to find him out on social media. The election, obviously, we're encouraging everyone. We had Nikki Charleston on last month here at Baltimore Positive to make sure you're getting your ballots, make sure you're getting them in on time, make sure you have a plan to vote. That's the most important thing. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, second most important thing, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation, where they're 2-for-1, as I'm reminding everybody. We're going to be at Luna Del C next Wednesday. We're putting some plans together for Next Phase Cafe, and I've got plans even further and beyond. Don, I'm cooking something up for the 17th of June because I'm getting a little cocky about this World Cup thing, thinking that might happen on the 16th. So I'm putting together my soccer mafia for the 17th when I get back from Europe. I'm going to be fresh off. And you know what Europe's not going to have in 2026 that we're going to have here in Baltimore? The World Cup.
Hey, on top of that, wait a minute. Have we been nominated?
Well, you want to blow? My arm doesn't reach that far back. I can't do that.
The Baltimore Sun has nominated Baltimore Positive as a candidate for best podcast. So if you're a fan of Baltimore Positive, jump on the Sun website.
And even if you only like half the show, it doesn't matter what half you like.
You can like half the show. You can like some of the guests. Vote yes, Baltimore Positive. We appreciate it. All right, Nestor, take us out of here.
All right, now I'm allowed to say I am Nestor, he is Don. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.